Hey, everybody. I'm Fran Fraschilla, and welcome to World of Basketball. That's right, the podcast that takes you around the basketball globe. And we each week talk to a current player or retired player, coach, executive, someone who has a connection to basketball, not just in the United States, but around this ever-shrinking basketball globe of ours. And if you're enjoying what we're doing, let's go ahead and subscribe on the Apple feed. Give us a 5-star rating, if you will, if you really enjoy what we're doing, so that we can continue to bring you some great guests from around the basketball world. Last week, we had a great podcast with Tommy Lloyd, the associate head coach of Gonzaga University, one of college basketball's great programs. And Tommy got into the fact that he is actually the Pied Piper of recruiting international players in the NCAA. If you can believe this, Gonzaga has had kids from 18 different countries under Mark Few in 20 years. Kids from France and Serbia and Japan. And many of those guys now are playing well in the NBA. And DeMontis Sabonis, who grew up, he actually grew up in Spain, in Malaga, but he's the son of, you know, one of the greatest players ever in basketball, Arvydas Sabonis from Lithuania. And so go back and listen. We've had some great podcasts. Jerry Colangelo explained to you how the whole USA basketball renaissance started in 2005, hiring Coach K. We've had Luka Garza on, the outstanding player from Iowa, and his dad with Bosnian roots. Jeff Van Gundy talked about the impact of international players in the NBA over the last 30 years. And Andrew Gaze, great player from Australia. So many good ones that we've already recorded. If you're just new to World of Basketball, go back and listen, because we've had some great guests, and we will continue to bring great guests. And we have a terrific guest today that we'll get into in just a second. But before we do, got to bring in my sidekick, the Aussie, the Thunder from Down Under, Chris Tyler. Chris, how we doing, my man?
Oh, a bit flat after the Celtics game yesterday.
I know. You are a Celtics fan.
Yeah.
But how about that performance by Tyler Hero?
He's a star. 20
he
years
is
old.
Unbelievable,
comes
man. 20
in.
Years
I think
old.
A lot of Celtics fans were actually wanting him in the draft. I think we were kind of hoping to go after him in the draft. Didn't work out that way, but certainly ended up at the right team.
You know what's crazy? I've gotten some pushback on Twitter today, because I said that he went to the right team in Miami, and people are saying, well, he'd be a great player anyway if he were drafted by anybody else. And I kind of disagree with that, because not to say that he wouldn't be a potential rising star, but you talk about particularly him and Bam Adebayo, two former John Calipari Kentucky guys. But both of those kids were drafted like 13th and 14th, right? They both played for a guy who was a hard coaching dude in Calipari, who's put a lot of guys in the league, by the way, including Jamal Murray. But they also went to the perfect culture for a gym rat in the Miami Heat. And all player development, Chris Tyler, in the NBA is not the same. And it's not to say that there aren't teams that do a good job. They do. But Miami has proven time and time again that their player development culture is absolutely elite. Think of Kendrick Nunn. Think of Duncan Robinson. And certainly think of the two Kentucky guys. And what Tyler Hero did last night was just mind-blowing, really. So kudos to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're a scrappy team, man, the Miami Heat. They work hard. I remember seeing a stat earlier on in the series about where these guys started their college career. Duncan Robinson, third division. All these other guys, smaller schools that eventually made it to bigger schools like Jimmy Butler and all these. So these are guys that kind of are very scrappy. They work harder than anyone else, it seems like. They just want to win. And that's what you can really tell in this series. They just want to win. And they're going to.
Yeah. And well, it all starts from Pat Riley, you know, and works its way down. Obviously, Eric Spoelstra has been with Pat Riley since the beginning. They, you know, we talk about culture a lot, and culture can be just a buzzword that's phony. But culture to me is what you do every single day. You know, culture takes no days off. And I would always surmise, Chris, And I could probably say this about Jamal Murray too, because of the improvement he has made since March 11th. But I can only surmise that Tyler Hero, once we came to the, you know, the stoppage in the NBA season, didn't go back home to Wisconsin and eat bonbons. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I got a feeling that he lived in the gym in the last 4 months. And whether it was organized or not, guys like Jamal Murray, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, they're not the only guys, but they have made major improvements inside the bubble. Kudos to them, because I think of Tyler Hero right now as not a rookie, but a second-year guy, because we're almost in a second season in the bubble. These guys had 4 months off, and I don't think a lot of people, I'm guessing, I can't imagine a lot of people probably worked harder than Tyler Hero and Jamal Murray in those 4 months.
Yeah, and it shows. They're just balling out, and it's a lot of fun to watch, even if it is at the expense of your own basketball team.
Yep, and no question. And you know, I've said this to certain people. If you're listening, and you want an incredible article, and I mean this now, one of the best basketball articles I've ever read, Chris, Jackie McMullen, the Hall of Famer, ESPN, good friend of mine, the story she did on Jamal and Roger Murray. I think back in December, if I'm not mistaken, but you can Google it and look it up. It's one of the greatest basketball articles I've ever read. I want to share this with you. In 2015, Chris, I was doing the Pan Am Games in Toronto, Canada, and Jamal made the Canadian national team. It was a year where we did not use NBA players. We used some G League guys. There were some college upperclassmen like Malcolm Brogdon, Denzel Valentine, Ron Baker, all have made it in the NBA. And Jamal Murray was the youngest guy in the Canadian team. And I remember getting to meet and getting to know Roger Murray, who, by the way, is Jamaican, emigrated to Toronto. And we talked about the way he was developing his son in terms of athleticism, basketball skills. I was blown away by what he was telling me about the work ethic that Jamal had. Well, Jackie Mack's story puts it all together. And every time I watch this kid play in the bubble right now, I think back to his dad, who, believe it or not, had him dribble on ice when he was a young kid. So some people grew up in Canada playing hockey on a pond, right? A frozen pond. He had his son dribbling on a frozen pond on ice. So outside the box thinking, and it's paying off in a major way.
It's funny that you brought up that article, actually, because I was just talking to my dad about that article last week, because he had just listened to the Luca Garza, Frank Garza interview that we did a few weeks back, and he actually apologized to me for not being harder on me as a kid, because he thought that maybe if he was as hard as Frank Garza was and as harder as Jamal Murray's dad was, that maybe I'd be in the NBA right now. So it's funny that you brought that up, because Dad legitimately mentioned that to me a couple of days ago.
You know, it's funny. I had two sons who played college basketball. They were scrappy, you know. Now they're in coaching now. But I can remember really enjoying working them out. But one thing I didn't want to do was I didn't want to get to a point where they hated their dad, because I had them in the gym 8-10 hours a day. I wasn't that kind of dad. And ironically, they weren't NBA athletes by any stretch of the imagination. But they both, because of those workouts, developed a love of the game. And they said, hey, you know, my dad coached. He's a broadcaster. He lived in the gym with me. I want to be in basketball. And but these two kids, when you talk about Jamal Murray and then Luka Garza, the great Iowa player, there's something about that father-son experience when it comes to hoops, you know. The Hurleys had it. Lindsey and Andrew Gaze had it, certainly, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny how that all develops. So, and by the way, we have another one of those situations today, because our podcast today happens to be with a young man who I got to know at Texas Tech, who came from Italy 3 years ago, son of a coach, son of a former pro player in Italy. But Davide Moretti had three great seasons in Lubbock as a kid from Bologna, Italy. Think of the disconnect there. No offense to my friends in Lubbock, but it's a little different than Bologna. But here's a kid who had three great seasons under Chris Beard. a Final Four national championship game experience as a sophomore, and then decided to turn pro this past summer. He's playing in Milan for one of our past podcast guests, Ettore Messina. He's playing with Kyle Hines, who we've had on the broadcast, one of the great players in the EuroLeague, four championships. He's playing with Malcolm Delaney, who played at Virginia Tech and played for the Atlanta Hawks. So it's a really cool interview, Chris. It's a great retrospective. I know Texas Tech fans are going to love it, college hoop fans. And we have many friends that are now listening overseas. So we hope you enjoy this podcast. Davide Moretti, former Texas Tech star, and now playing in the EuroLeague for our Olympia Milano. Enjoy. Davide, it's great to catch up with you, my friend.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you for having me.
Hey, first of all, it's new to you. It's not really new to you because you were in a professional league before you came over to play college basketball. But what's the experience like right now in your first year in Milan? And I know there's a lot of rebuilding going on, a lot of excitement. But how are you adjusting?
I'm adjusting pretty good. It's a good team. We got a lot of guys, a lot of new guys like me, and we trying to help each other. I'm trying to listen a lot, especially from the experienced guy. We have Sergio Rodriguez, we have Malcolm Delaney. So a lot of good guys, a lot of great guys. There are great guys first, and then a great player second. So. I'm doing a lot of listening in this last couple months, so it's been pretty good. We're working hard, and we just come up with a first title of this season, so we're pretty excited for this upcoming regular season that's about to start.
Yeah, I can't wait to get into the team with you. I know a lot of the players, and of course, Coach Messina. But I want to cover everything from how you got to Texas Tech to the decision to turn professional. But what did go? You had another year of college basketball eligibility, and of course, anybody like you, Davide, who comes from Italy or Spain or France, has a chance to go back and be a professional. So. What was the decision like to say, okay, I'm ready to turn pro and go back home, given that you had already had a great three seasons?
Yeah, so starting off by saying that it was probably the toughest decision that I had to make in my career so far, because everything that I've been through with Texas Tech, it's unbelievable. It will be in my heart and my soul for the rest of my life. It's been 3 years where, we accomplished a lot of things. We've been through a lot of battles. So, for me, it was really, really tough. It took me probably 2 months to make my final decision. And, because it was tough for me leaving a place where I was feeling like home, where I still have people that I consider family for me, that I love like a family. So it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. But I wanted to bet on myself one more time. I wanted to keep showing people that I can play a certain level. Keep proving people wrong. And I thought that Milano could be a great opportunity for me, the EuroLeague, and playing at such a great club like the Olympia Milano. Could be like a great opportunity for me, and playing for Messina too, play for a coach that is probably the best coach in Europe, and play with guys like Rodriguez, and like I said, Delaney too, that are spectacular player in Europe, and then have been like with NBA teams, and so they had like NBA career. So there's a lot of great things about this new journey that I'm in right now. And, maybe the uncertain things that are around college basketball for 2020, 2021 season, may probably play a huge factor for my final decision. So, thinking back at that time, I was it was still unknown if the season would start, or, you know, so
right.
All of these factors kick in, and, you know, I ended up with decision to come back here and, you know, start my pro career. I'm still a Tech fan. I'm still I'm about to graduate in May, so I'm still in class, and, you know, like I already said, Lubbock has a special place in my heart, and I'll be there as soon as I can.
Well, you know, you're a lot of college athletes are taking online classes now. You're just doing it from Milan, so that's really cool. Yeah. Hey, you know, when you first came to the United States, I knew about you because I love international basketball. You were playing in Treviso, I believe,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And when I heard that this Davide Moretti might come to the United States, the last thing I ever thought of is like, well, he'll never go to Texas Tech and Lubbock. It's not like Bologna or Milan or Venice. You had some interesting choices. First of all, why did you want to – your dad was a coach and player professionally. Mm-hmm. Why did you want to come and play college basketball? Because at the time, that's not the typical route for an Italian player who's 18 or 19 years old.
Well, you're right. When I had to make my decision, I was 17 years old. And most of the guys, like you said, especially coming from Europe, that's the age where they usually go pro. They usually teams like offer them like a contract. So, you know, I had a contract too, and it was tough to turn that down.
Right,
you know, money,
right.
And, you know, being home, being a professional player is something that, you know, a lot of guys will love to do as soon as they can. So, you know, like I said, I wanted to bet on myself. My dad was 100% on board with me. So, you know, I wanted to bet on myself. I wanted to improve, first of all. And I saw it like an investment. You know, I didn't think I was ready at the time. Like, I wasn't like a finished player. You know, I knew I could be like a 10 times better player than I was. So, you know, that was the main reason why I decided to go to the States. Like, I know how hard they work. I saw it when I went to my official visit. So, you know, I wanted to go there and become like a better player over all the things that I could improve on, you know.
Did you know what you were getting into with Coach Beard? In other words, I know, cause I've been around the game so long, there's nobody that works harder. And especially the amount of time. Did you know that this was what you were signing up for? And what was that like for you when you got there?
Well, when I got there, I knew I was in the right place. I knew as soon as I stepped on the court, I remember Max Lefebvre. It was, you know, the guy that I was in contact with since, you know, the first day.
Yes.
And then, you know, Coach Beer, it was right there with him. So, I step on a court, on a campus, and as soon as I step on the arena, the United Supermarket Arena, I knew that was the right place for me. You know, I didn't know that it had to be so hard, you know, but like Coach B always says, winning is not easy, or everybody right. will do it. So I learned it as the first day I got there, and, you know, it's been a hell of a journey.
What was the and I mean this sincerely, because you know Lubbock is a unique place, especially if you come from Italy. What was the adjustment to Lubbock like, given that it's — I don't want to get in trouble with Red Raider fans, but it's hard to get to.
Yeah, it's different. There's a lot of differences. I mean, it's not Italy, like you said. It's not like, you know, an Italian city or anything like that. So
right.
It wasn't easy.
Yeah.
I remember the first months, probably the first 3 months, I couldn't really speak English. I wasn't like really into, like, you know, classes, English classes, math classes. So, plus, like, you know, the time differential, like, you know, I couldn't really talk to my parents or to my friends.
Right.
I was living in my own bubble. Like, I couldn't like really, like, talk to people because I didn't know how to talk to people. So I was
yeah.
you know, staying in my room in my own bubble, and I was doing wrong. Like, you know, I start thinking that, hey, maybe I should go out and start, you know, even I don't know how to talk, even I'm doing like mistakes talking, I should at least try. So after the first 3 months, you know, of adjustments, I did pretty good, and you know, I adjusted the food too.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What kind of food do you like? You know, you and I have talked about food before, but what yeah. kind of food, like what kind of Texas delicacy or American food did you learn to really come to love when you were in Lubbock?
Well, I start to like really, really much, like, you know, chicken wings. it's something that maybe in Italy we don't eat that much, but right. Like in Texas, or at least like in Lubbock when I was at, I ate that probably like, I don't know, six days out of seven. So.
That's good. How about barbecue? Did you get into barbecue
a
little
bit? Barbecue is right after. Yeah, I got a lot of barbecue stuff. So
it's not the same as tomato sauce. It's not quite the same.
Not quite the same.
When you look back on, because your journey was part of a great Texas Tech journey, mm-hmm. Including an amazing run to the Final Four. What are your greatest memories, whether it's individually or just as a team? What do you think back on your days as a player at Texas Tech, and what are some of those great memories?
Oh, man, there's so many great memories. Like you said, my 3 years at Tech has been like special, you know, for Red Nation and for the program and for everybody. So. There's so many that I can think of, but you know, every time I look back, I always see, like, you know, the Final Four run and how special the team was, you know, the chemistry that we had on and off the court. And you know, I'm still talking to all those guys, that because we truly like connected like a family, like, and I think that was really make the difference for us, especially down the stretch. And, you know, that's probably like what comes to my mind every time I think about Tech, and, you know, or even the Tech fans, every time, you know, we had a sold out every single game, and that's a lot of people, 15,000 people every single game. It's huge. And, you know, especially coming from me, from a guy where in Italy, the biggest arena might be like 12,000 people. In his year in Milan, so I wasn't used to all those people, like, you know, cheering for you. And the cool thing is, there are guys like you, like, you know, your age, and maybe you can see the next day in class, and it's so cool for me. Like it was super cool, and you know, it's something that I always think about, and you know, stuff like that. Like then, like games. You know, games against Kansas at home, or you know, at Iowa in Ames. So when we won the Big 12 title, you know, all these great memories that, you know, would never leave me alone, and I'm so thankful that I have.
What do you? I share some of those with you because I called some of those games. But what was it like? How do you explain to somebody back in Italy that you played in front of 70,000 people in the Final Four? And what do you remember about that?
They always ask me about it, and you know, it's tough to say, because you know, it's hard to describe how it's unique. You know, there's no mm-hmm. other competition that are like the Final Four, not even the Olympics. So it's a unique experience that I'm thankful that I had the chance to live. So you know, it's unbelievable. I remember exactly every single minute of the semifinal and the final, you know, every time, every single speech that we had before the game. And, you know, it was special, man. I still didn't watch the game, rewatch the final game, because it still hurt a little bit, but, you know, it's been amazing.
You had, I think it was in the round before that. Was that when your parents came and surprised you?
Yeah, it was in Anaheim. Yeah, Sweet 16 and Elite 8. Yeah, those two games.
So, coach pulled a surprise on you. What was that like when you saw? You were in a meeting, right, in the film room or the
ballroom? Yeah, we were in the film room. Yeah, before the day before, we was about to call the day, and you know, he called me up to talk to the team, and I saw my parents in the back, and it was great, man. It was a great feeling.
That's great.
Especially because, like I already said, like they never seen me play. They never saw me play in the States. And especially for my brother, it was a very, very emotional for me. It was important, like more than anything, play in front of my family and see, you know, that we were having like a great season. It was great.
Yeah. A lot of Red Raider fans will listen to this podcast, I'm sure, and you're reliving some great memories for them. You are playing for one of my good friends and one of the great coaches in the world, really, Ettore Messina. He's been a guest on our podcast, and Chris Beard has become one of the best coaches really anywhere in the world also. We know him better in the United States for college basketball. What are the similarities that make it easy for you to adjust to a coach who is so exacting and demanding every single minute of the day?
Yeah, you said it right. They demand so much. They want perfection, like, you know, on everything you do, like, you know, the attention that they have on details. It's unbelievable. That's something that I really caught up, you know, on the similarities that you say. They're great coaches. I mean, for me, like when they're yelling at me or they're trying to, you know, get a little bit angry on me, I feel like it's not because they hate me or something like that, but because they care about me and they want me to make better. So they want the perfection out of every single thing, every single little things that, you know, they ask you.
Was it easy for you to handle the coaching because you're the son of a coach? Like, some guys cannot handle Coach Beard if they're not used to the perfection and the intensity. Was it easier for you because your father coached, or did you still have to get used to that style?
Well, yeah, I had to get used to that style for sure. Like, you know, it's a different style from my dad's coach. But, you know, my dad as a coach, he always gave me advice or tips on how to react maybe on some decision. And maybe he was saying, like, you know, he always told me, like, you know, hey, a coach might think this way, or he might thought, you know, that way because he's in their shoes. So maybe he has that kind of view that I don't have. So he was giving like those kind of advices that I think were really, really useful, especially in my freshman year, coach year.
Yeah. I'm curious because, you know, Texas Tech, the team you had and the team that you played with for 3 years, it's different. Like I saw a bond there that doesn't usually happen with a team. Do you think you got spoiled because, you know, early it was Keenan and the older guys, and then it became you and Culver and Mooney? Do you think you'll ever capture that again on a team? Now, you got special guys on your team now, but how unique was that for you?
Yeah, it was unique. It was like great, you know, like you say, spoiled. It was great to learn from Keenan and all those guys and then play alongside with Jared and Matt. So I hope so. I hope I will find like other players like them and go on a special run like it was for me 2 years ago. I really hope so. But, you know, it's not easy. Find the right chemistry and the special bond, like you said. It's not easy. And but like I said, I hope I will find some other players that, you know, I can build the kind of chemistry with, or maybe play a game with those guys. You
know, right. Well, you go back for a reunion in 10 and 20 years. I know that.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Let's talk about your pro career because I believe you may be the only rookie on the team at Milan, the youngest guy. For the fans that are listening back in the United States, and we get listeners because it's called the World of Basketball, Davide, from all over the world. Okay. But you are in the second best league in the world right now, in the Euro League. And for those listening, you'll play in the Italian League and you'll also play in the Euro League, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
That's how.
Correct.
All right. So how is it for you now going from a prominent role on Texas Tech where you were a veteran player as a junior, and all of a sudden now you become a rookie again?
Yeah.
And how does that adjustment for you so far? It's early in your career.
You know, I feel like I've been used to those kind of adjustments. When I was 17, like I was leaving a team where I was a starting point guard. And I was playing 30 minutes of a game. I was averaging 15 points per game. So, you know, I had to adjust to being like, you know, the backup point guard for Keenan, you know, my freshman year.
Right.
So, you know, it's an adjustment that I feel like I'm ready for. Just have to, you know, of course, it's like you said, the second best league in the world. So there's a lot of adjustment I have to make. I'm still making. And I'm sure I will make. But yeah, like you said, it's an adjustment that I feel like I can handle. You know, it's like a process. I know now my role is to, you know, give 100% every single practice and game and trying to help my team win. But first of all, I'm a listener. I'm a watcher that is looking to capture every single details from great guys, like I said, Rodriguez and Delaney, and you know, keep improving for hopefully becoming like a starting player or you know, a starting point guard maybe for Milan the next couple of years.
You're playing on a team with guys who you mentioned this earlier that have played in the NBA. You're playing on a team with some of the most well-known players in Europe. You mentioned Malcolm Delaney from Virginia Tech, and of course Kyle Hines, yeah, who we've had a guest on this show, is one of the. To me, he's royalty, right, in the EuroLeague.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's royalty.
He won. I don't even know how many EuroLeague titles he won.
I think he's got at least four. I think he's got at least four. Yeah.
It's so a veteran.
What do they teach you every day, and how hard is the competition? Sergio Rodriguez played in the NBA. Yeah. Delaney was with the Atlanta Hawks. Kevin Punter's a very good player who played at Tennessee. What's that like every day at practice for you?
It's a battle, man. It's try to, you know, show my potential along with those great talents there are every time in practice. It's not easy. You know, I'm good. I'm happy when, you know, I score on them or I make a good play. Just one time for practice, I'm good with it. That's how good they are, and that's how much respect I have on those guys. And you know, every time, like I said, every time they have to say something, I'm all ears, because you know I want to make sure I get everything. And yeah, it's like I said, there's a lot of great talents every single day in practice. And you know, we had some good battles. Even today, it was a great practice. You know, we prepare for this next upcoming games, but you know, there's no day off. There's no you know, any slippery, like especially with Messina, it's gonna get anything, you know, cool off, or you know, just we have to bring it every single day, every single practice, and that's a thing. What makes it, you know, good team, great teams.
With Coach Messina, for those who are listening, he spent the last 5 or 6 years with the San Antonio Spurs.
Yes.
Before he came back to Milan last year. Two Italians in Texas. Do you talk about San Antonio and Lubbock at all?
yeah, we talk about it. Actually, it's crazy how we never like get to meet each other, like. You know, it would have been super cool if we could have, like, at least, you know, see each other and, you know, spend some time together. But, you know, we the time wasn't on our side. So, but yeah, it's pretty cool. We talk about it. We have a lot of stories. He has a lot of stories and I have a lot of stories. So, especially because he played with my favorite player of all time. So I'm the one that is asking the most questions.
Now, who would that? Would that be Ginobili or?
Yeah, Ginobili.
He coached Manu as a young player.
In
your hometown, right?
Yeah, in Bologna, too. Yeah,
in Bologna.
In Bologna and then, you know, in San Antonio. I don't even know how many years. Yeah. So, yeah, it's.
Now, you were a baby. You were a baby when Manu was in, but you don't remember Manu, do you, in Bologna?
I don't because, I was born probably like, I was 1-2 years old. Yeah, I can't remember.
Right. That's a pretty good player to emulate, or at least be a fan of. That's cool. What is it about Coach Messina? I think I know, but I want to hear from a player's point of view. What makes him so well respected? What is it on a day to day basis that you see and you go, wow?
Well, first off, like I said, his demanding for perfection is, it's unbelievable. Like, you know, he's treating everybody like, you know, as the same. No matter if it's Rodriguez or me, like, you know, he's treating everybody like, you know, a player that he has to give the 100%, or, you know, he's coming out of the game. And, plus you gotta be focused on all the things, like, you know, from bringing the ball up or just setting a screen on in a certain way. And, you know, if the angle is wrong, like, he's gonna call you out. So, you know, he got everything under control. And, I feel like, those things make you like a great coach. And plus, like, he has experience, like, he has so much experience of great, you know, season and play and games. Like, he knows how to win games and knows, you know, how to get a win. Like, you know, it's, I know that he has so many, you know, jolly in his pocket that he can use whenever he wants. And, you know, I just, you know, lived it a couple of days ago when we won our first title together. And, you know, it's just the beginning, I think.
Tell me about this. My European friends tell me when you win a big game or you win a title, there's celebration afterwards. Team dinner, team celebration afterwards. Yeah. What is that like in Europe?
Yeah, we have a team celebration. Actually, we're going tomorrow because the day of the game, it was, you know, with COVID. You don't never know if you can stay there or, you know. It's a little messed up right now, but we're going all the team together, the whole team together with the families tomorrow. We're gonna have a team dinner and we're gonna celebrate the win. You know, it's usually that's what we do. Yeah, after a big win, we stay together with the families, and, you know, yeah, we enjoy the good time. Yeah.
So in Texas Tech, it was Whataburger.
It was Whataburger. Yeah.
In Milan, it'll be something, I think, a little nicer, I think. But
I'm sure
it will be. Hey, speaking of that, the professional side of it is, given that COVID is still relevant all over the world and in Europe, what are the protocols like daily? How's the testing? What's you told me 20% crowd capacity.
Yes, sir.
How's the adjustment?
You know, it's still like unknown how everything's gonna end up working. Like, I have still a lot of questions that, you know, maybe they don't know how to answer, because, you know, it's still like an ongoing problem. But what I know now, the protocols are that we are gonna get tested every 15 days, every 2 weeks, and you know, every time there is a positive on the team, the guy is going to be isolated, and the next day the whole team is going to get tested again. And if they all negative, then they're good to go. If not, you know, you're going to isolate another guy and keep on going like that. But yeah, other than that, you know, like I said, there's 20% capacity right now. Hopefully it's going to go up a little bit. Then, yeah, all the fans have to wear a mask. So, you know, all the cheering is kind of limited right now. So, but,
it's a little different.
A little different.
And in the streets of Milan, people wearing masks. And
absolutely, yeah. Milan was probably the most impacted city for this, you know, pandemic. And I can see that people are scared. I mean, yeah, scared, but, like, they really – really care about, and, you know, they wear masks every single time they go outside. And if you want to go inside, you have to have a mask or they're not going to let you in. So yeah, stuff like that are the basic right now. They're, you know, normal for people right now, especially right here.
Yeah. I know how much you miss your friends and your teammates in Lubbock. and the 3 years was special. But what's it like? You sacrificed to leave Italy, to go to Texas, have great moments that you'll live forever, you'll remember forever. But what is it like to be home? What's it like to be, you know, walking down the streets of Milan, you know, an Italian city? You know, what's that comfort level like, knowing that you know, you can read the signs and you're not confused like you were the first couple months in Lubbock?
No, I mean, it's definitely good. Like, it's definitely like a good feeling being home. Like, I don't know anybody that is not happy being home, you know. But, you know, it wasn't like the real reason why I decided to, you know, to leave Texas Tech, because like I said, especially the last 2 years, like I start feeling like Texas Tech was becoming my new home. So I wasn't that homesick like I was my freshman year. So, you know, like I said, it wasn't the reason why I decided to come back here. It was because I didn't feel good over there, or I was missing home or my family or my friends. Nothing at all. So, but it's good. Like I said, it's a great feeling, you know, knowing that I can go see my brother, especially playing, that is 1 hour away from me right now. So, these little things are special. So, are definitely like good things.
And you're doing some shopping at Armani also, or
we had a shooting yesterday, so they gave us a couple clothes and they're pretty nice. But Christmas. What I heard is around Christmas time they give us a little bonus to go shopping the Armani.
Kind of so, like an Under Armour catalog. You get the Armani catalog.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. Yeah. Hey, I'm curious. I'm not going to keep you much longer. How did you tell Coach Beard? Like, I know how close you guys are. What was that discussion like? Because I thought in back of my mind, each year you played at Texas Tech, well, he's going to have an opportunity to turn professional. And as hard as it was, what was that conversation like? And what do you remember about that?
Yeah, I remember it was a long process. I remember it wasn't easy, especially for me. Like, you know, especially the time where all this happened, you know, right in the middle of this pandemic, all certain things like going on, and, you know, I had to make this tough decision that, you know, the most important decision of my life. And I was far away from Coach Beer. I was, you know, in Italy, obviously, and he was in Lubbock. So it wasn't easy. I couldn't really find the right words to explain like what was my decision, but you know, he understand me, he understood what I wanted, and you know, he gave me like we talked and we agreed that maybe that would be like the right thing for me. But you know, he's a special person, and you know, he will always be like, you know, the greatest coach I ever had, and you know, it's, I hope we can get to meet each other like as soon as possible to catch up like we did today, me and you, Frank.
Right. Yeah. How about just moving forward, national team, those things in your sights, playing, you know, obviously Gallo and Datome, those guys are creeping up in years.
Yes.
But with the experience of playing with the national team, something that's in your mind going forward?
Absolutely. My mind, my heart. You know, I want to play for my national team as bad as anything else. So, I mean, I can't wait. I'm really excited. I hope I can get the opportunity to play for my national team and, you know, be the point guard of my national team. Would be like a huge honor for me, since, you know, I've been playing with the youth national team since I was 14 years old. Right. Every summer, so European Championship, World Championships, and representing my national team at the highest level would be like, you know, an honor for me. So I hope I get the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, that's great. Well, listen, when you get back to practice, you tell Kyle Hines and Caleb and Malcolm.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And Coach Messina that I was asking for them.
Okay, I will.
And I think I enjoyed Davide from the day you arrived in Lubbock to the day you left, watching you grow as a player. And more importantly, I watched you from the eyes of the Texas Tech fans. And I think you're going to be in their hearts forever because of what you accomplished. So I don't know where you got to take me to get good pizza in Lubbock next time.
I will. I promise.
Yeah, I wish you all the best, my friend.
Thank you so much.
I'll always be following your career, and you're in a good spot.
Thank you so much in Milano.
So
thank you so much. It was great to having you commanding the games, and always talking and chatting after the games or before the games. So like you said, Red Nation and the Lubbock fans will always have a special place in my heart. So I hope to get back there as soon as I can.
Yeah, after a EuroLeague title, maybe.
Absolutely.
Okay, all the best. Regards to all my friends.
Thank you, Sean.
Well, thanks to Davide Moretti. I'm going to miss that guy. I got to know him the last three seasons in the Big 12 and at Texas Tech, and he's on a very loaded team, so he's going to be doing some learning this year, but he'll get his chance. You'll be hearing more about Davide, and he'll probably be playing internationally with the Italian national team as well. Thanks to Davide, and as I said earlier, subscribe to our Apple feed, The World of Basketball. Give us a 5-star rating, and go back and listen. If you're new to the podcast, we've had, upwards of 15 podcasts already. Many great guests. I think you'll really enjoy them, and I promise you that if you listen in, we'll bring you somewhere cool next week on My World of Basketball.